Let's continue what we have been teaching. Please, when we finish this series, and then we'll go back to our normal prayer and then confessing the word of God. But I just feel like quickly getting to what we're teaching, conclude it. I don't know whether it's today I'll finish it. But I've been setting some things right. The important thing about Christianity, all right, is for us to know the ways of God. You must understand how God operates. That's why Paul will tell you that concerning the things you wrote me about, these are the commandments that God gave me. I prayed about it, and God revealed something to me. And I'm telling you, he said, but for these other things, the Lord didn't tell me anything, but I have the Spirit of God. Here is my judgment. Are you getting my point? That this is there was a man who understood the ways of God. He knew how God would reason. And that's what Christianity is. God is forming himself into us. So when we're talking about praying for anything at all, right, whatever thing we're doing in life, the most important thing is to understand the ways of God. Now, let me say this. When you utter words, all right, I'm teaching already, but I hope I don't get distracted. All right, let me try and sit on the message. But when you utter words spiritually, it's not just the word, the sound that matters. Do you understand my point? It's the spirit behind those words. Very crucial you get this point. So that if you are casting out devils in the name of Jesus and you are the son, you are a son of Sceva, it doesn't have any effect, even though the words are accurate. You understand? This pronunciation of the word is correct. But it doesn't have any effect because what matters is not the sound, but the spirit behind it. And Jesus said it like this, the words that I speak, all right, he said the flesh, that is, when he says the flesh, it means the sound. You can record the sound of the words of Jesus Christ. That's what they call the flesh, all right? That it profits nothing, doesn't do anything. It is the spirit that gives life. That is, it is the thing behind it. He said, the words that I speak, they contain a spiritual substance that impart life wherever they go. If you read it in simple King James, it tells you they are spirit and they are life. But what it was saying is that the words have a substance inside them. Anything you are doing in life, that's how it is. There is a substance behind it. And let me emphasize it. It is that substance that counts in the realm of the spirit. Did you hear me? It is the substance that counts in the realm of the spirit. It is not the thing itself. Please, you must... I've left my message now, what I wanted to discuss, but this is just so hot in me right now. Christians have forgotten it, all right? They need to be reminded. It is the substance of what you are doing that counts. It is not the act itself. That's why you don't just copy an act. People say, if you do the same things, we'll get the same result. It's not true. It is not true. If you do the same thing without having the same spirit, you'll get a different result. That's why I keep on emphasizing all the time that the widow of Zarephath got something from Elijah. All right? But if the other widows had heard, I don't know what I heard I said. They had heard that this is the quick way to multiply your food so it does not end. All of them, that's okay. Everybody eat until it remains only one portion. When it remains one portion, we'll now carry it and bake bread for Elijah and say, take, man of God, this is half of all that we have left. Now prophesy so that it will not finish. Listen to me. Elijah will eat it and it will finish. You hear what I said? Elijah will eat it and it will finish. Why? Because you'll have been doing the same thing, but you don't have the same spirit. I wrote a sermon sometime last year. I said, don't be without the spirit. That's why a lot of times people copy acts of faith. And they don't get any result. Why? It's a copying of the acts. They don't have the spirit of the faith. Are you getting my point? And it's important you have the spirit of faith, like Paul was talking about in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's what is called the spirit of faith. If you don't have that spirit, you copy the acts, you will not, you won't get anything. You will not get anything. That's what, I have to say this in many ways so people can understand it. That is why many times when preachers preach and they tell you, all right, this person did this, he got this. Now if you do the same thing tonight, you will get the same thing. Hear ye the word of the Lord, you will not get anything at all. If you give your last meal at such times, you really prophesied correctly. It is your last meal. You won't get another one. Do you understand my point? Because the person you are copying did not do what you think the person did. What the person did was an outplaying, a spontaneous outplaying of a spiritual thing that was all happening in the person's heart. You understand what I'm saying? Please, that is why we must get the spirit behind everything. It's very crucial we understand this. That's why I say to Christians all the time, stop going around thinking you can give God money and collect back just because somebody else in the Bible did this one and got this one. You've forgotten that when the person was doing it, do you understand? He didn't have this your multiplication attitude at heart. The penalty didn't have it. I discussed it in the book. Great faith can be yours. But that's why I read the whole book. Great faith can be yours. If you haven't read it, you're not my friend. All right? Now, as a matter of fact, read the book, please. In it, I explained why did the widow of Zarephath give to Elijah? Why? Why? There must have been a reason. Because otherwise, the woman was an idiot. You know, a complete, which word now? Very gullible human being. How can somebody you do not know just stop it by the way? Thus says the Lord, give me that food. It will never finish. Either you're not, okay, maybe she didn't live in Nigeria, so they were not fake pastors that time. If it's to this day and age, say, Pastor, give me the multiplication first, then we share it. He said, why do you have to eat it first? Multiply it first, have you? Maybe if you can multiply it, Jesus multiplied bread before he ate anything from it. We are not even sure he ate from it. He just multiplied it. He didn't say, let me eat the portion first. Oh boy, who has the... He said, there's only two boys here that has five loaves of bread and two fish. He said, okay, right, give me one fish and 2.5 loaves. Let me eat it. When I'm full, the rest will multiply. After all, Jesus did not do like that. But if it's the last one, will tell the prophet. As he said, give me the last meal, you go lose. Say, Pastor, don't worry. Multiply it, we share the balance. But of course, the woman didn't live in our time, so I don't know. But otherwise, that was quite a very gullible thing that she did. Somebody will just tell you, give me your food. What if they didn't multiply? You want to extract anything from your belly? You couldn't sue him. What were you going to do? Even if the judge found against him, so all right, pay her back 10 barrels of oil. The guy doesn't have. You don't have. I don't believe the woman was gullible. One of two things happened. One, God either pumped into her the spirit of faith, and she understood and knew with a deep knowing that he was telling the truth. Or what I think happened more likely was that, look, listen, oh boy, whether God said or God did not say, you look hungry, and therefore let us feed you. So if you turn out that you are lying, at least we have fed you. And I think that's the attitude Christians should have. And that is the spirit that gave her her result. It wasn't because she was going out looking for how to multiply her food. Everything you are doing in life, you ask yourself, what is the spirit? Everything you are doing in life, you must ask yourself, what is the spirit? I was talking to our brothers the other day. You know, something happened in the place where he was walking. And you know the way it is. You know, people like to curry favor with behavior. You know, Oyin is coming. You jump. Good morning, sir. You know, the man is going on the road. You quickly carry his bag. You know, people are trying to be nice to him. Why? The time of appraisal will come. He has to write something good. Do you understand my point? So he walks in that kind of setting. Everybody's doing stuff like that. And he said, no, I will not do it. Because he understood the word of God that promotion does not come from the west or the east, nor from the south. But God is judge. He said, I'm not going to do that. But then in his own situation, he and I now discussed. I said, you know what you are doing? Now you are not doing the opposite. You are not showing, of course, the man interpreted it as lack of respect. You know, this young man does not know how to honor his superiors. And I said to him, I said, the fellow is right. And I said, this fellow is very correct. What you are doing now is that you are showing him disdain. You are showing him dishonor. I know you do not want to do what others are doing because you don't like why they are doing it. I said, but you see, now let me use these words now. You have a different spirit. Do what is right for the right reasons. The Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. You are not doing it because you want favor from him. And this is the interesting part in the realm of the spirit. God knows why you are doing what you are doing. Listen, to him, nothing is hidden. Nothing is hidden. He knows the inner motive. Say, I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind. That's where I start from. You can do what you are doing. I know what you are doing. That's why I keep on telling Christians. If you think you are paying a tithe so that God will rebuke the devourer, and you are giving so that God can multiply, you are wasting time. I say it all the time, and I'll continue to say it so that you will stop it. You can do the same thing for a different reason. You are wasting time. God can see. Say, this boy is trying to make me do what I like to do by paying me first. It's different from when somebody else. It does exactly the same thing. He says, God, this church has been a blessing to me. This ministry has been a blessing. This work, okay, I believe in it. It's not blessing me personally. Are you getting my point? But I believe in what they are doing. Therefore, I have committed to giving this amount of money to help the work. And God rewards that fellow. Do you understand my point? Because he has the right spirit. When that person says, this person looks like he's anointed, let me sow into his life. And he thinks that I am sowing. You are not sowing. Bible says that sows to the flesh. Sowing to the flesh is the motive he's talking about. You are giving it for what you are going to get. You are sowing to your flesh. And not flesh sowing to the spirit. So you see two people go to the same church, the same place, they give to the same person or to the same work. One, in heaven, it records. It sounds there. You know, like Paul was talking about to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, as a sweet-smelling savour, acceptable sacrifice unto God. The other one, bah, nothing. Nothing. And he's diligent, he's dedicated. That's why the series we've been doing on Saturday, I talked about Christ, the final truth. Please, if you were not there, go and listen to it. Because it will liberate you, and you will stop wasting time. That's why I said, actually, there is only one sacrifice remaining that we can give to God, and that is our whole life. Otherwise, Jesus is the final offering. The only offering that is left is you totally. Everything you do is an offering unto God. Are you getting my point? You can't give him money and say, God, here's an offering, do something special. That one has ended with Christ Jesus. The one of we kill something, we give something, we do something so that God will respond, that one ended with Christ Jesus. But now, God is accepting our whole life as the offering. So we do things, you know, you don't. Offerings are given to provoke, like we say, something from God. Money doesn't provoke Jack. It does not. If you want to be provoked, you know, if you want God to be provoked on your behalf, carry your whole body and give to him. That's what he said. You must offer your bodies as what? A living sacrifice. As everything you do, everything. All that is, even the desire of your heart is a living sacrifice. So you don't desire that that's not a blessing, in quote now, to God, to his work, to his word, to his will. If you are not sure something is going to please him, don't even desire it. Don't even want it. That's how it is. This thing I want to collect now, how will it please God? If you don't think it will be pleasing to him, don't even want it. I don't want to want it again. That's how it is. Everything we do, it is what is behind it. That is the spirit. And that is what counts. That is what counts. So somebody can go and just say, amen. That amen, you just see thunder, fire, you know, in the realm of the spirit. Power, electricity discharge, power. What did he say? Amen. Another person is there shouting. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We rebuke. We shout. We break down. Somersault. Scatter. Die. Who? Huh? Who? Huh? All the angels are what's going on there? But the angels are bored. They are tired. They can't hear anything. Why? The fellow is shouting. Why? He goes to a church where everybody shouts. So he's learned how to shout. He said, when you want to pray, you shout. He said, when the prayer don't hook, you will get up. He's just doing, there is no persuasion. Are you getting my point? There's no persuasion. The first person they saw that shouted was shouting out of, you know, the way something will grip you. Are you getting my point? That was what made him shout. But he was shouting based on understanding. He was praying, more like, he was praying based on understanding. He was praying based on the knowledge of the power of God that he knows is available. But his flesh is shouting because the thing is hot. Are you getting my point? Some people now say, it was that shouting. It was that, look, when you want to pray, you think, I've heard it before, people say, you think you are still praying. You never begin praying. You are still sitting down. You never begin. And the fellow thing is, look, there are people who sat down and moved mountains. They didn't shift, though. They just sat down there. I read the story of one man, William Marion Braham. He wanted to preach. One crazy man came. It was an open air crusade. He said, so the crazy man came to come and scatter his meeting. He said, he just stood on the platform like this. That man was on the other end, though. Fire away. Say, I'm going to attack you. No, the guy's head was not correct. So the man just took calmly. Only him knew what he was saying. He just said simply, that Satan, you want to embarrass me. No problem. Now what you are going to do now is that you are going to bow. He was talking to himself. He said, you will bow before me in the name of Jesus. He was just whispering to himself. The man was far away. No, maybe apart from those who are close, knew what he was saying. So that man rushed. He didn't shift. He didn't budge. When the man rushed away, he was, he froze suddenly, knelt down there and began to bow. What I'm talking about, the Christians, a lot of people that jump up at night to pray, that's his anxiety. They can't sleep in peace. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. You know, I don't, why did I digress into that? I know where I began from, but I was just wondering why I sat on it. Maybe a few people came here today. You know, anytime you come, I always know when they come like that. The Lord is good. You believe you say amen? That is, that the Lord is good. That's what I mean. Let me get back to my message. So, I began by trying to explain the fact that whatever it is we are doing, is the spirit behind it that matters, all right? And the spirit is, okay, the motives, the things that you have in your heart before you begin to do what you are doing, okay? And those are the things that resound in heaven. That's what God counts. So, back to the issue of how to pray for a country. So, we have a nation. We have been talking about it, and I've established a number of things. Number one, I established the fact that it's an assignment, it's a duty that we do for the Lord as believers. Number two, the person praying, we talked about the salt of the earth, okay? All right, very important. The salt of the earth must be the person praying. And number three, I talked about the plowman, the laborer, must labor in what? In hope, in expectation, all right? Not just, you're just praying, you actually expect God to do something. That's the way it is. We expect God to do something. Long ago, I heard one man who was praying. So he said that he used to pray for North Korea so that things will change in North Korea and all of that. And every time he was praying and teaching his church of hundreds of thousands of people to pray. And I read this book. He said he has already recorded the message that when in North Korea invade South Korea, he knows they are coming to kill him. So he has recorded the message on how everybody should disappear and run, and the church should hide and everything. So I remember I was learning the word of faith that time, and I was wondering, excuse me, sir, why are you praying like that? Why are you teaching us this kind of thing? Every day you are praying that God will change North Korea. Are you getting my point? And you are, and then you are recording that, God, in case you don't want to change, when they invade us, I know they will kill me first, and then they will destroy the church. And I was wondering, what's going on? I said, this is not good. Well, I understood the problem anyway, because that time communism was very strong. You know, North Korea is a communist country, all right? And in fact, when I was in university those days, they used to teach us that Russia will take over America, that USSR will take over US and turn it to a communist country, and that is the final antichrist. But then when they go, I remember we're preaching this and go, you'll be laughing. Just laughing. I mean, when we used to go for Bible studies around 86, 87. I still remember this particular one, but Henry used to teach us 86. I mean, I used to be afraid to say, when they now put a gun to my head, say I should deny Christ, now how I go do? Ah, God, I don't know. This, I remember, this was the Lord that communism is coming, it's collecting everybody, just get ready, it's a matter of time. We are going to enter into the tribulation. It's not good to have that kind of attitude. You cannot pray with expectation. You can't. I've heard people say that, you know, things are not going to get better, they're going to get worse, You cannot pray effectively. You don't have any expectation. This man said he has prayed. At the end of the day, after all the prayer, he now said that, look, he has recorded a secret message, that when all the prayer will not be answered. Do you understand my point? When God has refused to answer the prayer, this is what we are going to do. It's not good. When you are praying, you should have expectation. Do you understand? Don't make preparations as if God will not answer you. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That was what I explained last time. Don't make preparations as if God will not answer you. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That was what I explained last time. The plowman must plow in hope. All right? Must have an expectation. You can't be telling me you are praying that country go good, things will be all right, you know, God will bless us, things will be better, and then you run away to go and give your children, you know, foreign passports, because that's the only hope they have for the future. I'm not saying it is evil. Just stop coming for that prayer meeting. That's what I'm saying. Just don't bother coming for the prayer meeting. You know, don't dilute the prayers of those who are serious about the matter. Do you understand? Sometimes when you see, you know, some of the evil things that, there are things that people do you don't like. Do you understand? But you are surprised God is not judging them. You don't know that there are certain issues about life that God is looking at and say, let me leave this fellow alone. He may not be a good person, but look at what he's doing. He has more faith in this nation that I love than many of my people who are not doing what he's doing. Yes, that's it. So if the fellow will prosper, you won't understand why. Because God is rewarding a kind of faith in the fellow. With all their, MTN, they vex person. MTN don't vex you before. They're very annoying. But there was one thing, I thought about it. One reason why God just showed them more mercy than I would have loved is that when they asked the Europeans to come and invest in the country, they refused. MTN carried good money. They didn't have the kind of fear that Vodafone had, BT Cellnet, all those European networks, that they were being begged. Obasanjo was begging them, told to Nibble, please talk to them. They refused. MTN and Co. brought money, sank it into the economy. The Econet the fellow they sent to Nigeria said when he arrived, the day after he arrived, four men carrying AK-47 attacked him. Imagine you just arrived Lagos to come and do business. Next thing, guys block you. It's four young boys who are high on drugs. Attack you with AK-47. Normally, you should run back home and say that place is dangerous. He didn't leave. He thanked God that he survived. They didn't kill him. But he stayed. Some of those people, they will do some things that are bad. God just said, Michael, overlook. Don't kill him. He has more faith than many of these pastors who have relocated their families to America and come to church with preaching to. If I remember, I did go. I'm going. I'm leaving. Your guy, you're not serious. Okay, I'll just leave the one. I'll hear the one that I feel here. Any of that, I'll not hear you again. You don't carry your children scattered all over the world. They are now here preaching to me about what? My friend in Sokoto, Pastor, he did something. Very interesting. In the height of, you know, this riots, crisis, Boko Haram, all those kind of things. This man went to pastor a church. Of course, he began the church in Sokoto before these things began. In the heat of everything, everybody, even his church members, were leaving town. People would say, what are you doing there? What will he do? Finally, they say, okay, you stay. There's no problem. But please, your wife and those four beautiful children, send them down. The father-in-law begged him. His own is that. How will I explain? I'm sure people prayed. And don't think there was no tension there. Tension was at its peak. He knew people that when Jonathan won the last election, there was one man, he only escaped his family because I think Jesus leaked that the neighbors were going to attack him. It's a southerner who had lived in the north for at least 20-something years. So he ran maybe at night. He and his family ran to, like, maybe their BQ at the back or one doghouse somewhere. And actually at night people came and burnt the building down, thinking he was inside. The man was hurt deeply. These are his neighbors. He has lived with them for decades. Next day he packed and moved down south. My friend was a pastor in the midst of all of this. You know, I'm his friend. If you think I sleep well many of those nights, sometimes when he calls, as I'm answering the call, now with prayer and intercession, with groaning that cannot be uttered. And when he calls, he will just laugh. That the neighbors decided to come one day. He lives in an area where they're mostly southerners. They were arranging, okay, we'll get gone, we'll get this, they get that, they get every kind of thing. They now came to him one day that they are doing vigilante, he should come and join. He said, look, he had just finished fasting and praying in church. And then said, they shouldn't worry, that they should go and do the physical one, he'll be doing the spiritual one for them. He said, my brother, that he was too tired. No, so the tension was bad, it's not a joke. Then when the police commissioner called them, they have a division of police over there, maybe the AIG called them for a meeting on how they will secure churches and stuff like that. The following day, a bomb blew up police headquarters. No, I think they had arranged the meeting. I didn't help. He called me and laughed. He said, is that the person that's going to protect me? He said, they will bring bomb detectors to the churches. He said, okay. That's what he told me. He said, okay, now that you have detected the bomb, what next? Okay, if you detect the bomb, so what are you going to do? You know how he responded? In the midst of everything, he organized a 30-day prayer in the afternoon in church. That was his response. He told the church members, everybody. Here they said we shouldn't come to church again. Now we are going to come to church every day for the next 30 days to pray. Listen, God has to hear some people. In the midst of this, you can be sure he'll go to church, him and his wife. They will be in church every day. If I hear your mouth say, divide this country again, I will personally pray that God should give you stomatitis. You won't eat for 1 week. Because if you know what some people have sacrificed, you open your mouth, divide it. I'll forward an article to you later. Somebody wrote it. It was in this day. This mythical north. This guy is a northerner. All right? And wrote an article on what you guys in the south call north. Let's even discuss it. I don't know how many of you have seen it. You've seen it? Okay. If you remind me after, I'll forward it. This day is not a hidden thing. It's in newspapers. But of course, it's online. You can read it online. That was about last week. One of our brothers read and forwarded that around. Beautiful write-up. Beautiful write-up. Beautiful. The guys explained that what you guys call north. When you know some of the things I've been saying, he says, are you sure? This is a northerner. He's from, I don't know whether it's Kebbi, one of those called north states. But he's a Christian. He'll give you the information. Say, what is this people call north? That it annoys him when two people will talk. Newspaper headline, north says. He said, the thing is very annoying. A few men will talk. And you now say, the north says. He said, what do you call the north? The guy has given you figures, facts. Anyway, the Lord is good. You know what I'm saying all of this again? I'm talking about a plowman plowing what? In hope. You don't have to go for a prayer meeting. Are you getting my point? I'm not saying you don't have to go. You don't have to go. But if you want to go, make sure you have the right mindset. Make sure you are thinking correctly. You get my point. I want to beg Christians to please abandon all these regional groups, OPC, MASOP, you know, those kind of things. You don't belong in any one of them. The ideologies are crazy. And most of those ideologies have no meaning. They don't have any foundation. They don't have any truth in them. Just a few angry people. You know what they call a few angry people? Just a few people that have been, they are just angry about some people. Some of them, their problem is they don't have money. If they had money, they won't be talking like that. So when you wake up in the morning, there's no food. Your brain starts imagining things. You start seeing visions of evil. When you haven't eaten, that's why I warned you against this reckless fasting. Before you start fasting in the morning, take a cup of tea. So that your brain, so you will know when you are seeing vision or when you are hallucinating. No, I'm serious about it. Ola Nka one day came for a party. He said, are you not fasting? He said, after the party, I will start. Sounds funny, but a small truth inside that. I have to know when somebody is seeing visions or when he's hallucinating. It's important. Some people you are following, they are confused, they are angry. There was one girl they wanted to marry that time when they were young. You don't know. And they love this girl. Die. But the father was a Hausa man. And the mother, a Yoruba man. And he is an Igbo man. So they did not agree. And he hasn't forgiven them till today. So he will go and join myself. You won't know what this boss will be. You won't know. He won't tell you. You think that the guy, we are fighting for the advancement, equalization, a distinct, fair treatment is a lie. He just saying one day, if I catch that old man, he hasn't forgiven the man. But you won't know. On the surface, be careful who you follow. You know, I don't talk. Because if you go to the wrong places, you know, angels, they know they die. You know that? And if you read the scriptures, I don't think they change their assignment. Michael has been doing the same thing for a long time. Gabriel has been doing the same thing for a very long time. That angel that wanted to kill Jonah, that's why I'm telling the story, he's still on some roads. That's what I'm talking about. You go on the wrong donkey for certain meetings that they didn't send you. One angel is waiting there. If your car jammed wall, thank God. If you have jammed that angel, if you're not there yet today, they tell the car. You know what happened to is that Jonah? I said Jonah earlier. I wanted to say Balaam. Huh? You know what happened to Balaam? In donkey jam wall. Some of you, your car don't jam gutter. It was running away from an angel. If a donkey can talk, a car too can develop sensor. We see angel, just move. I hope you are getting my point. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Why am I saying all of this? Is the plowman plows how? In hope. That's what I'm saying. He has to plow in hope. He has to have an expectation. He has to know this prayer I'm praying is not a joke. When you're a businessman, God, there are people that God has created to be, let me just use the word that Robert Kiyosaki used, capitalists. And they are still in this country. And God says, listen, what I want to do is to raise you up from here. So when you are doing your business and you are praying for the country, I want you to know that when it comes to it, one day, just have that faith that one day, Forbes, now listen, you know I told you that what you do, what you say, is not just those words or the action, but the spirit behind it. So when I want to say what I'm saying, it's not the same spirit as the spirit of the world who wants to be great, who wants to be a rich man, all right? So please bear it in mind. No, all right, that Forbes also, from here, can list your name as one of the richest men in the world. So when you're doing your business and we pray your prayer, have that in mind. Don't let anybody just be lying to you and say, hey, wait, talking about it. Listen, I was reading the other day. I don't know for the way I was reading how Dangote was, how he beat somebody to be the richest black man and the richest African. I'm sure that man did not even plan it like that. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above what you can ask or think, and those two things are based on what you have seen before. Are you getting my point? Yes, so whatever you've seen before, God can do more than it. So when you're praying for your country, you are praying for your business, you are praying for anything, have that one in mind. Do you get the point I'm making? Have it in mind, though. Have it in mind. That's when your prayer is effective. The plowman plows in what? Hope, with an expectation. It's not just saying, let's just pray, just in case. Let me just say something. Say, what about those who prayed at the end of the day? God now said no, because it's happened before. Now, let me just drop this one. Why you don't need to put that kind of provision in your mind is because what God does at such times is that when people have prayed like that, and if God now finds out that what they're asking, I can't do it for certain reasons. Not because it's impossible, but for certain reasons. Know what he does? He gives that individual a special privilege. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Like when God said, will you destroy, Abraham said, will you destroy the righteous and the wicked and everything, and he began to pray, if you find 10 righteous people, God he didn't find. So what did he do? He destroyed the place. But I'm not aware Abraham made any specific request for Lazarus, for Lot. No. But he definitely had Lot in mind. So what did God do? He specifically targeted the household of Lot and removed them to please Abraham. Do you get my point? So with God, just do the right thing. Don't worry about it. He said, what if I've had my children in the country and listen, if you operated the way we are describing, let me say what I say all the time. It sounds funny, but it's the truth. God is not stupid. He knows. The Bible said those that hopefully wait for him will never be put to shame. And many years ago, that was one prayer I prayed, you know. I finished talking with people. They will talk, and say, what is this? In fact, I heard people say it in my face. I'm sorry for you. And I will discuss with people, of course, in these days, I don't do such things anymore. Not because my conviction has changed, but I've realized that there's no point arguing with a wall. You go there, this war. I know they go, you will change it. You know, I saw that in one TV program. The man said, look, you're arguing with your war. So these days I'm realizing when people start talking, I just shut up. But those days I will argue and argue. I didn't realize that I was seeing what they were not seeing. And they were seeing what God did not allow me to make an important thing. Because they couldn't see what I was seeing, that was all they had. I saw what they had. I saw the giants. But I also knew that God was with us, and the reality of God being with me was so tangible to me. And many times people say to me, I'm sorry for you. One day I was talking to one sister. I just did something. She said that, the way you're going, your children will attend public schools. They are talking. And I was very angry with her that day. But I remember my own attitude. Number one, what's wrong with public schools? So the blessed wife delivered in a public hospital. You know, UK is not Nigeria. Tony Blair's wife was pregnant. You know, she had a baby when he was prime minister. When it was time to bump again, he go queue for their general hospital. Imagine Enugu state governor's wife won't bump again. He go park lane. That was what happened. You know, because it's not Nigeria. You know, in Nigeria, person go sick, disappear, go abroad. If you try that one in some of those countries, they sack you. They just sack you. They will impeach you. You know why? The hospital you say we should go to is not good enough for you, eh? Good. In fact, those would rather die. In fact, people are accountable, all right? I pray we'll get there in Jesus' name. Amen. In fact, it's already things that are already happening. Government is planning to ban some travel abroad for me that you can go, no wahala, but government is not paying. Which is good. There's no reason why a country like this, you know, I told you the other time, that they said the best educated group of people in the United States as of today are Nigerians. Oh, you haven't read it? If you give me your email, I'll forward these things to you. It's not Nigerians doing propaganda. It was a survey done by a Houston newspaper. They decided to do a survey. They said the most educated group of people in the United States late last year, they did the study, are Nigerians. When I read it, instantly it flashed through my mind. I realized that most of the Nigerians I actually know myself, they are seriously educated people. One of my brothers, as one of my alumni fellowship members, left Nigeria with their MSc in petroleum engineering, paid his way to go and in Texas A&M, did a PhD in petroleum engineering, working for Shell. I was just remembering, one, two, three. And they said, look, even when they come without degrees, the way they will work. So my friend said he saw a Greek American asking him, what do you people do with this school, sir? A white man asking a Nigerian, why do you people go to school so much? Then one day he had two people discussing, they didn't know he was a Nigerian. Said, these Nigerians, they don't understand them. They're always in school. Now, a country like that, we have no business going anywhere for healthcare. That's what I'm explaining. You can't have that kind of manpower. And it would be godly for you to be traveling because you are sick to anywhere. We should have... I thank God for what my CMD is doing. Because I was talking to my CMAC this afternoon. And she was telling me that, look, that the CMD is trying. That one of the things he's trying to do is to ensure that at least this heart surgery, that's something that UNTH was known for long ago. And there was a reason for it. It wasn't as if it wasn't politics. Okay, let's give it back on this. Let's give UNN this. Let's give UI. No, there was a reason for it. But in the way many things went down in the country, it went down also. Our current CMD said, no, we'll put that thing back up. And he's working on it seriously. Every few months they do surgeries, and all their patients have been doing well. Well, almost all. I don't think they've lost any. Last time they didn't lose anyone. I would say that the next one is in about 6 weeks' time. So the man, just what he's trying to do, okay, is to ensure that thing becomes routine again. Of course, the last surgeries that were done, a lot of them were done by the local staff here. Okay, with support from the other people. But after a long time, you guys don't have to come again. It will now become regular for us. And listen, I pray that we're able to get there. His reason is that, look, let's start something good, and it will spread. And there's something about this country. When Fashola does road in Lagos, everyone says, listen, roads are doable. You know that kind of thing? And then we say, can you imagine? Donald Duke has done it. Sylvain Chiman has done it. Then Benin to say, we can do it. You go to Benin now. When you see Benin roads, Most of you bypass Benin. Next time you are coming, don't bypass. Drive from Lagos. Enter into town. You will be shocked. By the time you pass Uniben like this, you'll be looking like, what? When did they drop me in Los Angeles? When you see the width of the roads, you'll be like, what? What's going on? You mean this is a doable? Forget the noise we are making. We are making progress. We are making severe progress. Serious ones. So I was explaining that, listen, things can happen. That's why I talked about that. That there's no reason why a country like ours, you know, we're able to be running all over the world and all of that. And I was trying to explain a particular principle. That when you make your decisions, all right, at risk, in quotes. Remember I said last time that faith takes risk, okay? You make decisions at risk to your life and that of your children. That God is not stupid. I remember I was talking about that. And listen to me. Even if it happens that some of those things they are asking for. Remember I talked about Lot. Remember, huh? That God wouldn't do it for whatever reason. But you have followed this principle. He knows how to specifically extract you and all that concerns you so that your heart is still not put down. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. And one of the things that God is doing for you, now, let me like this. One of the things that God is doing for this country, no, let me put it another way. Many of the things that he will do for this country is just because of you. Did you hear what I said? Many of it, some of you, maybe you said that, like my children are not going to school abroad. And nothing wrong with it. You know, there's nothing wrong. Nothing is not a bad thing. If I have money now, my son wants to go to university. He's not going to university abroad. It's my personal decision. I can do past jam. He finished SSC. He has a brilliant result. If you like giving scholarship, he's not going anywhere. As long as I live in Enugu, this is Enugu. My wife is looking at me. I don't care. He's not going anywhere. He's not good. Look, I have too many choices as far as I'm concerned. You either go to UNN. So what about ASUU strike? It will finish one day. Have you ever seen ASUU strike that does not end? It will end one day. And because of the kind of understanding God gives me, if ASUU like, let them strike. It doesn't move me one bit. As ASUU is striking, you join your mother doing business. You will get an MBA before you get a BSc. My own mindset. Look, let us strike. When they finish striking, they will rejoin. You understand my point? They will continue teaching you. You will graduate one day. While they are striking, I will get you, because this is 2014. Let's not be stupid. You can get any degree sitting from your bedroom, apart from maybe things that require real apprenticeship like medicine and stuff like that. Otherwise, what is it? Sitting from your bedroom, Liverpool will give you a degree. And they promised, there was a time my wife wanted to do a postgraduate. Once I just put her phone number, she didn't mark it. When somebody called her, my name is Mr. McPherson, calling from Liverpool. My wife said, please, I can't hear you. The man said, you can hear me. You want to take the degree in English language? He said, I'm in the market. It's not that. It's not English that's the problem. She was in the center of a waiting. They called me, said, he said, okay, I'll call you back later. Call me back later. What do you mean? The Lord is good. No, listen, a lot of people don't know this. If you want a degree, there's a particular university. If you want to do an MBA and you have money and you want to do good quality MBA from Europe, you don't have to go to Scotland. There's one particular school called Edinburgh Business School. They have study centers in Benin. They have in Lagos. I don't know whether they have in Enugu now. They have all over the country. I'm aware of Benin and Lagos. And they give you a complete Scotland? Edinburgh is the island of Scotland. Okay. They'll give you a real one. It will not show your certificate that you took it from Nigeria. The only thing they require is that you have to come there for like 2 weeks at a particular period. And they give you an MBA, a DBA. I didn't even know. It was when I was reading their brochure and I saw that they have what they call Doctor of Business Administration. They give it to you. You don't have to go anywhere. So even forget that one. So that's my reason. So if ASUU goes on strike, oh boy, during that period, you will get another degree. This day and age, it is not the paper. It's what you have inside here. It's not the paper. Where's my friend? Is he around? That has a BS, that's doing computer science in a university, couldn't identify a hard disk. I can remember that of our friend. He's not around. When he came to see me, I said, Now school they go. Come, let me drag you to Computer Village. You know, they will give you a BSc Computer Engineering in 6 months because you will know more in that place. So it's not the paper. It's easy to get paper. Go to school, get paper. But we're talking about the knowledge. And I love Americans. When the Americans want to test you, they don't. If, have you passed an American CV, curriculum vitae? Go and check it. Consideration is that, and they want you to be verbose. In 2005, I did this. I built 7 computers from ground up using only a screwdriver. And if I'm given the opportunity, I do it again. 2009, you write it like that. Give details. There's a particular company in Enugu. I did all their networking. I employed only one other boy who couldn't speak English. And we networked for a company that is turning over 2 billion naira per annum. That's what they want to hear. Give them a list of websites that you built and you're managing. They won't go back up to check whether it is BSc or OSC. You know what's OSC? Nothing on science. And so I tell you today, I know those things are possible. So I'm not even, it's not even a matter of big faith. If I tell you my child is in this, he's going to go college abroad, it doesn't impress me. There's nothing you want to teach in MIT. I can't learn from Enugu. Nothing. If I don't like UNL, I don't like ESUT, I go to Covenant University. If I want to spend money, I go to Babcock. There are many universities. Ain't sending all these my children? Laila. Let them hear it now. If you are dreaming of going to university somewhere, no. The dream has come to an end. Wake up. No point sleeping any further. If you want to go to university abroad, finish that BSc first. Finish that first one first. Work first. Then explain to me. If you say, I want to go there, get the master's in this, then come back and get the job, I go slap you with my left hand. That's poverty mentality. You have an inferiority complex. Yes. If you can't demonstrate to me what you want to go and learn, what you want to be exposed to. No, you must understand the spirit of what we're talking about. It's not just about I go abroad, not go abroad. One brother was talking with me the other day here, just a few days ago here, talking about his plan. And I was once suggesting, why don't you try Australia? Because he explained to me what he wanted to do. It made sense. So it's not about, it's against the law to go out. Are you getting what I'm going to say? It's just that what he wanted to do, right, is a practical thing. He asked, I said, okay, he wants to go to. I said, look, this country, you have to learn a new language. Why don't you go to Australia? I help him to know they do this. You know, we're just talking about it. So it's not about, he mustn't go. But this issue of, let me just go and get a certificate. I'll not come back home. I'll not get a good job. I don't believe in it. And as for BSc level, as at today, first degree level, I don't know what you want to learn anywhere that you can't learn from here. As ASU strike doesn't mean anything. You will still get to where you are going to get to when you are going to get there. Are you getting my point? If ASU is on strike, should your brain be on strike? Remember when ASU is on strike, their whole life is on strike. You know how? African magic. ASU is on strike, now you go sit down like this. Inyedo, why are you doing like that? This cup is coming from your back. Part one, part two, part three, part four. On a story I can tell in 30 minutes. That's why ASU is on strike. Look, were you not for that? I mean, why should that strike concern? Hey, they're on strike, forget. By then you go back to school. You are so hot, your lecturer wants the strike to continue. I remember once, was it a strike or something that happened? I was a third-year medical student. It was a break anyway. When we returned, the way medical school then was, university, 3 semesters, if you know, first, second semester, that's second year. At the end of first semester, third year, you take what they call second MB. So normally in anatomy, we study head and neck. All right, head, neck, and brain in the third semester. That's first semester of third year. So there was a break or something. There was a delay anyway. When we go back to school, I remember Dr. Nod, he was supposed to teach us. He will start. The nerve supply to this, we'll just finish it for him. Wow. Okay, all right. The cervical, Anything he says, we'll finish it for him. Oh boy, do you know how many weeks we have been reading? And we knew our life was at stake in it. Are you getting my point? So for that period, we don't jack everything. The man, I remember very well. Because there were some areas that I did not read. My classmates read. I could not get taught. I don't know whether I get my point. So the man will come, he starts talking, they will finish it for him. Ah, like, guys, relax, man. Let the man talk. Wait, we know it. Ah, guys, this man is not teaching this. The man, if I thought he just come to class, right? Today we are talking about the cranial nerves, all right? The first cranial nerve, factory. He's like, they were giving him everything. So one lecture, he will finish what you have normally done in four lectures. Because boys don't jack, we don't move stuff, you know? Everything, don't absorb the whole thing, the head don't swell. But these days, when I was on strike, boys don't join gang. That's why the government starts begging us to stop. If students were students, government would ask us to strike now. The boys are working. Yes. You know what I'm saying of these things? Those things shouldn't discourage you. Let them strike for 1 year. You get another degree in that 1 year. And go back to school, finish the other one. The plowman plows in what? In hope. That's my own attitude, though. That's my attitude. That's why my children can say, I want to go to school. Where? In London. Why? For me, now the pound, I go even they calculate. You know what they call pound? Okay, pounds. Yeah, I'll be calculating it. So, I will give only you 20,000 pounds for school. If I share that money into 10, Bishop Oyedepo will bless me if I come and pay in Covenant University. And I gather 5 more children with you. All of you will get degree after 4 years. You want to go there alone. I don't go agree. My wife knows I'm always calculating money. Once they are talking that thing, I don't do calculation. My own is that, with all the souls that are perishing. The Lord is good. Wait, you won't go read. I mean, go UNN, my friend. And this interesting part, all my friends that got their degrees from Nigeria, all of them that carry those degrees abroad are up there. Yes. My friend is a lecturer physician in Texas. Another of my classmates, I told you about it, was a professor of law at Texas Southern University. Full-time professor. Comes from there every... Anytime my phone rings and it's, I know it's in Ibadan, UI. He teaches petroleum law in UI. We're classmates, University of Benin. So, see, the money you are looking for, God said, I should tell you, you don't need it. What did I say? You don't need it. Don't worry. Just make sure your head is full. Do you understand my point? Why am I sitting on this? I've been trying to leave it since. Because somebody was going to take a bank loan. Don't bother. If I have many more things to tell you, but my time is going. As I told you about, he told me about one of his friends in Lagos. Who did the BSc or OSc, I don't know. But whatever he did was in Nigeria here. Then he sat down in Nigeria, Lagos there, and learned networking. So he was Cisco certified. I think Microsoft certified. Those of you who know about such things, you know. Or different kinds of certifications. He has Cisco certification, Microsoft certification. There's another one. There are 3 of them that is quite common. Eh? Oracle, yes, Oracle, thank you. This boy sat in Lagos and did that. Then one day he was just browsing online, looking for work. He places, you know the way it is. You know, you have Jobama in Nigeria, you know, stuff like that. He places CV somewhere. And one day they got an email, interview. So they went to business center to do interview, you know, online interview. By the time he finished, they gave him a job. And the boy was earning $300 a day. Not in Nigeria. They gave him the job. He had to travel to, you know, that time America was rebuilding Afghanistan. It's very funny, right? But he went to Afghanistan. So he said, don't worry, it's not everywhere that is troublesome. He was in one of those remote areas. He said the only problem he had was boredom. That the work was so easy. And they were paying him in Nigeria, you know, his money was being wired to his account in Nigeria. $300 a day. Young boy. Late 20s. The interesting part was that everything was done where? Lagos. $300 a day. And that time also, they offered him a job that if he would go to Iraq, they'll give him $450 a day. Because they know they go to Iraq. Iraq is too hot. Yeah. $450. That's the offer. Said, no, no, they do. The plowman plows in what?
In hope.
That's what I'm trying to do. Explain to you, say, listen, you will get there. Say amen, huh?
Amen.
From wherever you are, you will what? You will get there. Where, that is, if you like, move this night. And say, the Lord called you to Ayongba. From Ayongba, you will get there. You hear what I said?
Yes,
from Ayongba, you will get there. And that you see, that's my mindset. That's why some things don't push me. You come and say, ah, come on, you pay this amount of money, you can give my son a BSc. From where? Where I don't go see him regularly. Wait, never grow rich. Bring that scholarship back when he has finished a BSc. And you don't big well. Want to now do another level? Hell, okay. I can release you to Belgium that time. But initially, let us all strike. Me and you will be able to pray. After all, if you travel now, I can't pray again. Because you are gone. But if you and your friends are in school and ASUU is on strike, I will gather all of you in prayer. Father, let these children go back to school in the name of Jesus. And God will say, Gabriel, this bank is for Allah is too much. Yeah, solve the strike, everybody. So the whole university will return to school because Akinwunmi is going there. Yeah, because that was why I was shouting. Do you get my point? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let me just say, let's start with this message. That was a review up till now. Don't worry, you'll go home now. Don't worry, we are going home. The Lord is good. All right, let me just read this 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's start from there. From verse 1, it says, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Now I'm going to introduce this and then we'll develop it next time. He said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. First of all, let what? I'm using New American Standard. Let me give you the words. Entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings. Let them be made on behalf of all men. He now specified for kings and all local government chairmen included. All who are in authority. What is the end result of that? That we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. What does the church do today? Brethren, we gather, and what they have is accusations, criticisms, and insults and abuses are made on behalf of all men. For the president, his vice deputy, senate president, and all who are in authority. Therefore, they are living. They are leading a non-tranquil and noisy life in all ungodliness and lack of dignity. Are you seeing that? Turn it upside down. I'll read another scripture, explain a few things, and we'll develop it next time. Also, the Lord is good. Zechariah chapter 3. You see that Zechariah was seen visions and the angel was showing him things. And when he got to chapter 3, he said that, then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And then also, what did I see? Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Then the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. He said, indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now, this Joshua that was being accused, look at what happened to him, what situation he was in. Now, Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. That was why Satan was accusing. Satan wouldn't accuse if there was no reason. It was because this fellow was clothed with what? Filthy garments. He was clothed with filthy garments. Garments in the scriptures describe righteousness. Do you understand? So Joshua's hands were not too clean. Or he was representing a people that did not have clean hands. That's both of it, all right? We're not discussing details now. What I'm going to say is that, you see what I'm going to say in a moment, I'll get to it. He spoke, verse 4, he spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, remove these filthy garments from him. Again he said to him, see, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and will clothe you with festal robes. Now I want you to understand something here. He told the people around, remove his filthy garments from him. We'll look at that later, okay? But the point is that Satan came to accuse. He was able to stand because Joshua was wearing filthy garments. Bear that in mind. Let's read one last scripture. All three will develop next time. This time around, we are reading from Exodus chapter 17, a story that we know. Exodus chapter 17. This was when Joshua and Co. went to go and fight Amalek. Because of time, I'll just read a small portion. I want to read a longer portion, but because of time, let's just start from verse 8. He said, then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. And I said, tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed. Of course, with his staff in his hand, I believe. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But carrying that staff took something out of him. Verse 12 says, but Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The Lord is good. Now, why did I read this? I'll just introduce it and then we're out of here. All right, three things we have read. Number one, we read, what was it, the first one we read again? Okay, yes. No, for a while I forgot. I said, first of all, let prayers, what is it? First of all, that's what I want to say. First of all, right? First of all, prayers should be said for all men, for kings, and those who are in authority. And there is a purpose for that. Then we also read the fact that Joshua, why I read that particular one from Zechariah chapter 3, is because you see that Joshua was standing, of course, as high priest to minister. It's a type. I'm just taking a type from it. He was like a ruler amongst the people who would do things on behalf of the people. And then Satan stood beside him to accuse him. And I emphasize the fact that Satan had the right to accuse because he was wearing filthy garments. That was the reason. And the garments, if you read the Revelations, he said the white garment was the righteous acts of the saints. So when you're talking about filthy garments, what he's saying is that people have done things which are not righteous. That's what it is. And it's based upon that Satan accuses. And you must understand that principle of accuser of the brethren is the opposite of being an intercessor. Okay? An intercessor pleads for mercy. An accuser demands judgment. That's just what it is. Okay? So what was happening was that Satan was demanding that these evil works that had been done by these people, I assume that it could be, I've not really thought about it much, but it could be that the evil works by the people was what was represented in the garment that that high priest was wearing, okay? He had done things, so he was demanding that this judgment should be brought upon them. And then the Lord refused. And of course, you understand, said the Lord said, the Lord rebuke you. So there must have been two different people that we are talking about here. And the first one was definitely talking about intercessory power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that one, of course, being his body, he was talking about the intercessory abilities also of the church of God on the earth. I hope you know that point. We'll develop it next time, okay? Now, why I read the other story is that Joshua had gone out to war, which is interesting that the name of the other fellow also was what? Joshua. The other high priest, it was Joshua. So both of these Joshuas need help. That's the point I'm making. Both of them need help. You notice that the Joshua, the high priest, there were two sets of people. One was accusing him. The other set was pleading mercy for him. All right? That's the one that said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, when we get to that story of Exodus, you see that Joshua went out to war, and Moses had to put his staff up, which was a sign of God's authority, God's power working on behalf of the people. Once he lifted it up, it wasn't just his hand, because he said, I will go to the top of the mountain with the rod of God in my hand. So when the hand was up, he was talking about the rod of God being lifted up, okay? It wasn't just Moses' hand being lifted. And the same rod that divided the Red Sea, the same rod that did different things, all right, for them, that same rod was supposed to be lifted up if Joshua was going to triumph, if he was going to overcome, okay? Now, the victory was not dependent, first of all, on whether Joshua chose the right men. Are you hearing me? It was not dependent upon whether Joshua used the right strategies. If you understand that, say amen.
Amen.
It was not dependent upon the military experience of the people that were going with Joshua. What was most important was Moses, the rod. Is your staff up or is down? If Joshua lost the battle, it was not his fault. It was Moses that got tired of praying. I don't know whether you got that, how I connected it. It was Moses that refused to lift up the rod. For whatever reason, did you notice that Moses dropped the hand because he was tired? Not because he was angry. I'm not going to let you hear. Moses had a reason to drop the hand. He had been worn out. Boko Haram had released too many bombs and kidnapped too many people, so he stopped praying. I don't know whether I get my point. He was discouraged. After we have prayed for all these years, nothing has happened. Men ought always to pray and not to get tired. That's what my Bible says. So Moses' hand was getting tired as a sign that one day we are going to get worn out also because we don't see the victory we are looking for on time. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So even though we are justified, that's what I'm going to explain. Moses was justified to drop his hand. But Aaron and Hur raised the hand up for him. That is, we have to encourage ourselves so that we are not tired. You are seeing the way I'm tying these things? Because these are really spiritual principles. Listen to this. Joshua that was being accused, I told you before, God is not just a father, he's a judge. And whether we like it or not, I want to say something that is very, very crazy so that you understand the point I'm trying to make. Boko Haram couldn't kidnap over 100 students. All kinds of conflict. Latest I read is that it's a lie. They're not up to 200. Whatever. All those girls could not be kidnapped until God gave the go ahead. Whether you like it or not. The 200 children that drowned in Korea, who drowned because they were obeying instructions. I read the details. When their ferry capsized, those people couldn't have died except accusations were made before the judgment throne of God, and God the judge said, go ahead. It doesn't mean he's happy about it. So when Satan is accusing Joshua, it wasn't like, I didn't like him. Look at his face. That's not the issue. It is that let his boat drown, capsize. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. Let his boat capsize. I want his children kidnapped from school. That's accusation. That's the judgment he's demanding based on the filthy works that this guy had on his body. What am I trying to say? You see some, I'm tying many things together. People say the problem of Nigeria is leaders.
It's Joshua, it's Moses going on the mountain, saying the problem of this battle is Joshua is not experienced. I should have gotten a more experienced general for this war. This is the problem you have when you send boys to go and do the job that men are supposed to do. This is the problem. All these boys, squatter boys that should need, they're not the ones that are ruling. I've heard these things I've heard. And these are Christians talking. That's the problem with the country. That is the problem with the country. This Joshua is not experienced. This man is clueless. He does not know how to strategize in battle. Look at his head. When I was choosing him, oh God, I don't know what's going on. This is the problem. In fact, I'm leaving this country.
Christians that have the rod of God in their hands, they did not lift it up. They are sitting down there and shouting, 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 shouting. Therefore, the country is spoiling, 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 spoiling. And they say, we said it. We said it. Joshua doesn't have sense. We said it too. This Joshua does not have sense. Who even said Israel was a particular, a single country? 12 tribes. Have you ever heard it? That's why we are losing the battle. There are 12 tribes, and somebody brought us together by force. When we were leaving Egypt, did you all agree we wanted to leave? It's Lord Lugard that said we should leave at the same time. Is it what Christians do? You know, until they describe you for you with another picture, you won't realize the depravity of your behavior. Ah, look at Joseph. What is it? David. David was there raking, raking. Until they showed him that you are the one. You know, he thought he was a righteous man. We Christians think we are very good because we paid our tithe. We're listening to, what is his name? This man in Ibadan. Israel, you were there now, live. Olubi Johnson. Olubi Johnson said, Lagos is Laodicea. Say they think they are rich, they don't know they are poor. That's how Christians are. We think we are good, but we are, that is the evil way we don't do it. The rod of God in our hands, we climb the mountain and use to support ourselves. I mean, pointing to Joshua as he's fighting recklessly. Look at how they are fighting. They call themselves senators. Look at how they are fighting. The rod of God, where is it? In our hand. We take and balance. Take and the call cars to be. Call wife to be. Call our own comfort to be. In the name of Jesus, I claim the money. A better job. Promotion. That's the rod. We are resting on it. Lift it up, oh, so that Joshua can fight. No. Why can't he fight? Okay, what if I didn't come today? He will tell me he can't fight. I'm talking about how to pray for the country. Let me stop here so I can repeat these things next time without having to preach the whole message. Okay? Because that's what I kind of wanted to teach today. But then I end up emphasizing this plowman plowing in hope. First of all, let prayers be made. Let's not become accusers of the brethren. It's very, very important. Now, please let me just say before I go. I am not saying that Joshua is not wearing a filthy garment. Did you notice that? I tried to emphasize it. The accuser, we know he's wearing a filthy garment. So we're not saying he's not wearing a filthy garment. We're just saying that our prayer shouldn't be, look at his filthy garment. Why should he go anywhere? Why should anything work? Look at his filthy garment. He said, no. What the Lord did was that, remove the garment from him. So they said, don't mind Jonathan. Desiane is his girlfriend. Say, Lord, end the relationship. If it is true. Say, Lord, I don't know whether it's true or not. But in case the man is walking in adultery, in the name of Jesus, point is, let him have mercy on him. Let him be righteous. I'm serious. That's the prayer. But I want to say, no, that is why the country is not going forward. Because we start giving, it's called garments. The filthy garment we are emphasizing the filthy garment, and that's what is called accusation. And that's why we can't lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and all righteousness. You get my point? Let's share the grace. Let's go home. Let's rise to our feet. I have kept you for so long. I hope you learned something today. If you are blessed, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
And let's just share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death, we have passed into life, we have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ, we have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. One more time. This is my season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Cheer up, brethren.